This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you that we're covered by your blood. Thank you that you reign in us. Thank you that you are our God, and we praise you. Father, thank you for everything we've experienced throughout this day thus far. And Lord, we say thank you for the word that you have for us even now. Father, I am woefully inadequate. I admit that. So God, I come in prayerful dependence on you to speak to us all. Minister to us through your word, Lord, as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, we got a wonderful introduction to David. And we learned what God was doing in his heart concerning repentance. Well, it's so interesting how God works because, you know, we're back to David again this afternoon. And Yvonne and I, we didn't even consult. That's always so wonderful to me to see how God is always in control and orchestrating everything. So we are going to look at David and at the example that he's given us for what I'm calling prayerful dependence. Prayerful dependence. The word dependence in the Concise English Dictionary is defined as the state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something else. Relying on or being controlled. Webster's uses the words reliance, trust, influence when it defines dependence. So what is prayerful dependence? Well, this is the glimp definition, if you will. Prayerful dependence, I would say, is the state of relying on and trusting in God and having your life controlled by God as a result of the communication that you have with Him through prayer. We're talking about a moment by moment, day by day relationship through prayer that is a dependence on God. David illustrates this for us. And so we're going to be looking at scriptures that show David in this mode of prayerful dependence. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 1. We see David here as a fugitive. He's running from Saul. These are the cave years. He's running for his life. And in 1 Samuel 23, verse 1, we read that one day news came to David that the Philistines were in Keilah stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, "Should I go and attack them?" "Yes, go and save Keilah," the Lord told him. But David's men said, "We're afraid, even here in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Keilah to fight the whole Philistine army." So David asked the Lord again. And again, the Lord replied, "Go down to Keilah, for I will help you to conquer the Philistines." So David and his men went to Keilah. They slaughtered the Philistines and took all their livestock and rescued the people of Keilah. Now when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he brought the ephod with him. Saul soon learned that David was at Keilah. "Good," he exclaimed. "We've got him now. God has handed him over to me, for he has trapped himself in a walled town." So Saul mobilized his entire army to march to Keilah and besiege David and his men. But David learned of Saul's plan and told Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod and ask the Lord what he should do. Then David prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, I have heard that Saul is planning to come and destroy Keilah because I am here. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to him? And will Saul actually come as I have heard? O Lord God of Israel, please tell me." And the Lord said, "He will come." Again David asked, "Will the leaders of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord replied, "Yes, they will betray you." Life and death situation facing David. His men do not want to go with him. And what does he do? He goes to the Lord. Not once, but he goes to the Lord again. And he presents the situation. He says, "Lord, what must I do?" I would call that prayerful dependence. I would call that prayerful dependence. We can look again to 1 Samuel 30. If you flip over a few chapters to 1 Samuel 30, verses 7 and 8. Here we have David coming back from a raid and finding out that he was raided, that the Amalekites came and raided his camp and took everything they owned, took the wives and the children, took everything. And David's men are furious. I mean, David is essentially standing alone here because his men are talking about stoning him. We see that David says to Abiathar the priest in verse 7, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." We see often in the Psalms that David would freely go to God and he would pour out his heart to God in prayer. And at this time, in deep distress, we see him doing the same thing, going to God, asking God, "Is this something that I should do? I mean, what is your take on it, God? I mean, this is... I mean, my wife, my wives, and my children have been taken. Am I going to recover them?" And God says, "Yes, go ahead." And David goes off. And indeed, he recovers everything. He finds everything, and he takes them back. Each step that David took was based on a dependence that he had on the Lord. And he would go to the Lord and ask the Lord, "Is this what I'm to do?" If we look at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, we see that even when David was anointed king of Judah, He followed the same pattern. This wasn't just, you know, when he was running from Saul and in a tight spot. When he was anointed king, we see the same example. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. After this, meaning after he was anointed king, David asked the Lord, "Should I move back to one of the towns of Judah?" "Yes," the Lord replied. Then David asked, "Which town should I go to?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. David did not rely on his own judgment, even in a thing that would seem small to us, where to live. He took that request to the Lord and asked specifically. He relied on the Lord to inform him of where he should live. Let's look now at 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. Now David is crowned king of all Israel. He is king over the United Kingdom of Israel. In verse 19 it says, "So David asked the Lord, 'Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?' The Lord replied to David, 'Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you.'" And God did just that. David demonstrated his trust in God by seeking God's guidance. And God demonstrated his faithfulness and his power by giving David victory over the Philistines. If you look a few verses down in verse 22, we see the Philistines are now returned and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim. Verse 23, and David asked the Lord what to do. "Do not attack them straight on," the Lord replied. "Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees." God gives him specific instructions on how to attack the Philistines this second time. Now, David did what God commanded, and he defeated the Philistines again. But note that David didn't take for granted that because he had whooped up on them the first time, that he was going to whoop up on them again. He went to God and he asked God again for guidance. And when God gave it, he was obedient and he was victorious. Now, I just want us to see a few things, a few observations. I want you to observe the back and forth that goes on between David and God. Now, we know that in some of these instances, he's consulting with God through the ephod. And the ephod was that linen garment that the high priest wore. And it had, you know, several things on that garment, but on the front it had this breastplate. And that breastplate contained the Urim and the Thummim, which were tools for divining and for hearing from God. So he's consulting God through the mechanism that God has given specifically for that. But I also imagine that he's having times alone with God where he is asking God, "What do I do? What do I do?" And it is a picture of the kind of intimacy that David had with God, the kind of relationship that he had with God, that he knew that he could depend on this God of Israel, that he could go to him in reliance and in trust. In his prayerful dependence on God, David asks specifically. You notice the questions? Very specific. He asks specifically, and God responded specifically. That's the kind of relationship that he had with God through his dependence on him. I want to ask you, what serves as your ephod? How do you go to God about the specifics in your life? How do you hear from God? I know that for me, my ephod is my Bible. 9 times out of 10, when I go to God about specifics, I'm going to get his response through his word. And that's why I stay in it. I am prayerfully dependent on God through his word. And I remember some years back when I was considering a position that had been offered to me, and you know, it was very attractive, and I really could see sinking my teeth into this one. And I went to God about it, and I was clear that this was an opportunity God had presented. But I didn't like the salary. I thought, you know, I'm worth more than this. Hey, I graduated from CIU with an MDiv. You know, I'm worth more than this. Of course, they didn't agree. And so I went to the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, you know, I really believe that you want me to have this position, but you know, the salary is kind of low. What should I do? And, you know, I was seeking him about it, and one day I was just reading, picking up where I had left off, and I was in the book of Luke. And John the Baptist was, you know, talking to the different people who would come to him, and, you know, the tax collectors would come to him, and he'd tell them what they should do, you know, be honest. And then the soldiers came to him, and John the Baptist said, be satisfied with your wages. And I said, if that's not a word for me. And I just accepted the offer that they had made. I didn't even ask for more. And you know what? About 3 years later, they didn't even tell me. I got this whopping raise in my salary. And I said, you know, God, you are so awesome. I just, you know, it just blew my mind. But the question is, are you going to God about the specifics of your life through prayerful dependence? Now, having looked at David's example of this dependence on the Lord through prayer, I want to show you another side of David. And I think it's the saddest thing that we see in the life of David, because he didn't continue in this prayerful dependence. No, he didn't. And that's why this morning Yvonne was able to teach us about his prayer of repentance. As David became more powerful and prosperous as king over all of Israel, he became comfortable and complacency set in. And he fell into the sin of adultery and murder. So I say that to say, be warned. Be warned. Even if you are prayerfully dependent on the Lord and you are seeking him for every next step, be warned. Because if David could fall into complacency, and sin could come in, and so entirely devour his life, and not just his life, but look at what happened in his family. From that point on, just look at the pattern in his family. It was chaos. And so be warned. Be careful. We see that there was a turning point in David's prayer life. And if you look in 2 Samuel 5:10, turn there to 2 Samuel 5:10. It tells us that David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's army was with him. So we see that he's becoming more powerful. And then in 2 Samuel 7, we see that he decides, you know, I want to build a building to put the Ark of the Covenant in, because here I am, I'm living in this wonderful palace made of cedar, but the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. Look at 2 Samuel 7, verse 1 through 5. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. "Look," David said, "I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, and the Ark of God is out there in a tent." Nathan replied, "Go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." Don't take it for granted that because the Lord is with you, that you don't have to consult with him and ask him what to do next. Don't take it for granted. David took it for granted. You see, he calls Nathan, and he puts this proposition to Nathan. It's not even a question, really. David has decided what he wants to do, and really, he's just looking for agreement. And he gets it from Nathan. Nathan says, "God is with you, man. Just go for it." I believe had David called Abiathar to bring that ephod, and had he gone to God and said, "Lord, you know, I'd really like to build you a temple. What do you think?" Different approach. But see, David was in a different place in his prayer life. He wasn't at that place of prayerful dependence anymore. So he felt he was calling the shots. And notice how God responds to him. Notice how God responds to him. If you look down at verse 8, God says, "Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared." So God responds to David in the way David came to him through Nathan. God did not go directly to David. Okay? David did not go directly to God, and God did not go directly to David. Okay. David had distanced himself. Now there was a third party. David had distanced himself. Don't take it for granted. I don't think I can say that enough times. Don't take it for granted. You see the dynamics of this intimate relationship, this conversational-like prayer thing that David had with God. You see how that deteriorated. You don't even see that anymore. And so don't take it for granted that because you have risen to a place where, you know, you think you've arrived, that you don't need to go to God and to ask him, Lord, what do I do next? David failed when he failed to ask God. David failed when he failed to ask God. When his prayerful dependence on God ceased, David failed and he fell into sin. You know, I think, how could this happen? You know, how could this happen? But it's not that hard. It's not that hard when you think about becoming complacent in your prayer life. It's not that hard. We really have to strive for a consistent, constant, prayerful dependence on God. And our model for that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see Jesus constantly and consistently and intentionally seeking the Father in total dependence. Jesus spent time with God to ask and to receive guidance. He spent time with God to get replenished from a hectic ministry schedule. He spent time with God to fill up before going on a ministry tour. How will you seek to walk in greater dependence on God? How will you seek to walk in greater dependence on God? As we go out to do ministry, there is no way we can do it unless we are dependent on God. This book that we have available for you has a whole section devoted to the central role of prayer in the life of Jesus, because that's where we draw our example from. Jesus did not fail because he never failed to ask God. Jesus did not fail because he never failed to ask God. Ask Jesus to cause you to be in absolute and total dependence on him each and every day. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful examples that you give us in your word. Lord, the good example of your servant David, the man after your own heart. And then in that very life, the example that we need not to emulate when he moved away from that prayerful dependence. Father God, may we emulate Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, but who sought you for everything that he did. Father God, may we seek you for everything that we are to do. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.